All participants, please stand by. Your conference is ready to begin. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Resources conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you, operator. Welcome, everyone, to the second quarter 2010 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources LTD on Friday, August 13, 2010. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information, because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our chairman, Mr. Stephen Dean.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning or good afternoon to everyone on the call. Great to have you with you, have you with us. On the line is Dr. Klaus Zeitler, our president, Aurora Davidson, our CFO, Michael Kuta, from whom you just heard from, and myself. We're going to follow our normal format by giving an overview of our quarter's production and financial statistics, offer some insights into those. Klaus will talk a little more on the production and operating side, and then we'll open the call to questions. From a production perspective, the results were very strong, particularly in comparison to Q1 2010 and the corresponding quarter in 2009. Production was up 34% against our Q1 2010 stats and up 20% against our corresponding Q2 quarter last year. So we're very pleased with the continuing ramp up of production of both copper and moly. Klaus will talk a little more about that in detail shortly. Suffice to say, our expectations as to the accounting numbers were lower than we expected, principally due to higher costs and a series of one-off adjustments, in particular around the copper price. And I think it's worthy to note that here in the middle of August, we're all feeling good about a copper price of around $3.20, $3.30. But we have to remind everybody that when these accounts were struck, the copper price was quite a bit lower back then in the end of June and around in the 290 odd range. And that's the number, of course, on which some of the revenue components were struck. And that was a number lower than the copper price at the end of the previous quarter, the Q1 of 2010, and the consequence of that is the accounting rules require us to make adjustments to some of those revenue lines as a result of that lower copper price at the end of Q2. And we've sought to describe and explain that in some of the notes in the financials and the MD&A. I prefer to look, as do many of the analysts who follow us and follow the sector, I prefer to look at the cash result, and the cash number tends to take up some of the noise and impact of those accounting entries. But our operating cash flow was approximately $4.7 million for the Q2 quarter. That even so is a little lower than we were hoping for the quarter. The principal impact on our cash flow was the higher than expected power costs, which have continued to prevail across Chile in this quarter, and in fact into the current quarter of Q3. I'm not going to elaborate too much on the power costs, because Klaus is going to talk to that shortly. But suffice to say that due to weather and a number of other factors, high power costs continue to negatively impact us. I have to say, as a management group, this is one of the frustrating components of our operations, in that the power costs are, to a large degree, out of our control. They are the grid price that is charged on a marginal basis to all customers on the grid, including NBC. Having said that, of course, listeners may be aware that we have installed our 20 to 22 megawatts of generating capacity in the last year or two, and I'm pleased to report that they are now operating and, in fact, plugged into the Chilean grid as of late last month. So there is some mitigating component to the electricity equation that Klaus will talk about as far as it impacts our operations going forward. Our balance sheet continues to strengthen from the stretched state that we found ourselves in during the financial crisis. We have cash of some $17 million, and we continue to significantly reduce our level of bank and other indebtedness. I think at this point, I think the most interest revolves around our production outlook, and I would prefer if Klaus handled that discussion. So I think I'll hand the call over to Klaus, and he can talk about the Q2 result and where we think we are going in the second half. Thanks, Klaus.
Yeah, well, I mean, Stephen already talked a lot about the power costs, and as you know, the power costs are, of course, our major cost item, and they determine a lot our end results. As Stephen said, the generators are now accepted by the Chilean grid, and we are supplying power to the grid at a marginal cost of about 12.5 cents. So what is really happening in future is that if power costs are higher than that, then these generators will contain our power cost to the point that of about 12.5 cents. In fact, we may even be a little bit better than that, because we are supplying power to the grid at the grid price, whatever the marginal cost is, be it 15, be it 16, be it 18, we are supplying the grid then at that price, and of course our marginal costs are only 12.5 cents. But on the other hand, we are buying power from the grid at the marginal cost minus one. So if the marginal cost is 16 cents, we are buying from the grid at 15. So between this aspect and the fact that our marginal cost of the of our generators are relatively low compared to other thermal generators, we are in fact right now the fifth best thermal generator in Chile. So that fact will contain our power costs. But nevertheless, the power costs will stay relatively important for the next 2 years for us till we then change to a fixed price cost, which is significantly lower than the present power cost. So again, the main reason for the increase in our costs this quarter was power. There was some other detrimental factor in our costs, and these were our repair and maintenance costs. We do have a problem with one of our mills where we will have to by the end of the year we'll have to replace the main gear, and in order to have that mill running we did do some maintenance which cost some money but which keeps this mill running despite the fact that we have a broken gear. So these two items are the main reasons for the increased cash costs in this quarter. So I would expect that that both these factors will improve in the second half of the year, and we'll come back we'll come down in our cash costs again. From the production side, we are, as Stephen said, we are very happy with the performance from the old tailings, and the good production result was mainly achieved due to the good results from the old tailings, because we keep receiving less fresh tailings than was budgeted, even though it looks as if this is also improving from now on. So looking forward, we, from a production point of view and also from a cost containment point of view, we will see better results in the second half than we did see in the first half.
Is that the end of your comments, Klaus?
Yep.
Thank you. Operator, at this point, we're happy to throw the call open to questions.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Dean. We'll now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience.
While we're waiting for the questions to come in, Operator, I might make some additional comments. The weather patterns in the world continue to confound everybody. Whilst there are tragic floods in Pakistan and that part of the world, Chile is experiencing quite an unusual dry winter. And that, of course, is one of the underlying reasons to which we refer in our quarterly report that is driving the power cost, because the hydro dams are uncharacteristically low. And to the extent that there has been precipitation, because the weather has been so cold down there, the precipitation has been in the form of snow, not rain, which hopefully will benefit sometime in the second half during the spring runoff. But for now, it's been a very dry season for replenishment of the hydro dam. Operator, any questions?
We have questions. Our first question is from Tom Mayer of Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Tom.
In the disclosure, there's some mention about that you guys have a few ideas on improving the MOLLE circuit. Can you speak to that? And the second question is, I think you'll be asked this a number of times, but any thoughts on restoring the dividend?
Okay, I'll let Klaus answer the first one on the MOLLE, and I'll have a go at the second one.
We have been surprised about the fact that our MOLLE production has not increased, despite the fact that we are producing more and more from the old tailings, and we know that the MOLLE content in the old tailings is higher. So we started an investigation into that, and we do have some preliminary results which we received, but we are working with the number one expert in molybdenum in Chile, and he is doing the study, and the full study will only be concluded by the fourth quarter of this year. But we have already received some preliminary results from the study, and we are already applying these recommendations, and we think that we will already see an increase of MOLLE production in this quarter. A further increase of MOLLE production in this quarter, and probably quite significant.
Thanks.
On the dividend question, Tom, Klaus and I were discussing this recently, last week or the week before, and one of the things that, as maybe we're showing our age, but one of the things that we talked about is the degree of volatility that we experience today in the base metals market, but in particular in the copper market. You know, as I said at the opening of the call, it was only in June that the copper price was down at 290 levels, and then obviously in November, December 2008, it hit as low as $1.30, $1.40. But just, even if you just concentrate on the recent times, we've seen significant volatility where the price can move within a matter of weeks by 10 to 15%. That, in comparison to, say, the 80s and 90s, where those sorts of moves, whilst they did happen, they happened over much longer, greater periods of time, and it was a longer, stretched-out amplitude to a cycle. Now we see much more volatility. What that says to us is that we need to be even more prudent, and we were caught somewhat short in 2008 by paying a dividend of around $7 million in September, and then encountering the downturn, albeit an unprecedented downturn in October, November of that year. We could have done with that dividend, or at least part of it. So we are super cautious about reinstating a dividend, and we will be more careful about the level of dividend. The share price is obviously somewhat lower than it was in 2008. So from a yield percentage perspective, you know, even though we might be considering a lower level of dividend, the yield could still be quite of interest. So it's something that we are considering, but to be blunt, we will only reinstate it when we feel our financial strength, given the projections that we have for our business, are such that at all times we can manage our liquidity requirements after and meet all our obligations. At that point, will we reinstate a dividend, if at all? But that time, I think we'll revisit that formally. Will be towards the end of the year.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much. I'll pass it on.
Thank you. Our next question is from Robert Chung of Hedgehog Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Robert. Hello.
Mr. Chung, your line is now open.
Oh, okay. Yes, sorry. This is actually David Liu for Robert here.
Hi, David.
Just had a question. Hi. On the generators, now that everything's fully operational, do you have a sense of what the your cost to produce a kilowatt would vary with say a $5 move in the price of oil?
A five dollar move in the price of oil, will not change it much. It may not even change it at all, because for us the important price is the heavy oil, and the heavy oil does not move exactly with the crude oil price. So I don't think a $5 move, will have a major effect. But of course, if there are large movements in the crude oil price, that will also have an effect on the heavy oil price.
Okay. Well, I guess, I don't know is there a measure that, just to give us an idea of the sensitivity to the heavy oil price, say a $10 move in the heavy oil price, is it like raise your cost like a cent a kilowatt hour, something like that? Or,
well, I mean, if you say our marginal cost is 12.5 cents right now, and you have an oil price of $80. So, I mean, you can calculate, because 90% of the marginal cost is fuel. So, you can calculate what that means. So, if you have an increase by 50%, then probably the heavy oil will also increase more or less by 50%, and that means that our costs will go up by about 5 cents.
Gotcha. Okay, just wanted to make sure. Thanks.
Or, of course, go down by that amount.
Any other questions, operator?
Yes, we have a call from John Polcari of Mutual of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. The fixed-priced arrangement, that would go into effect exactly when? I know it's about 2 years out.
First of January 2013.
And that would lower the cost to... what?
Around 6 cents plus a line fee.
6 cents.
Well, it's the contract is 6.2 cents plus an index, so we don't know exactly what the index is.
Right.
What the index will be by 2013, mm-hmm. But I would guess that it would. The index might take it perhaps to a little bit over 7 cents, mm-hmm. And that's the marginal cost.
Okay. Then the index is what, something akin to, say, like a consumer price index type?
Yeah.
Okay. On your indebtedness, what is the final payment on the bank debt? It's been amortizing... I see there was another healthy payment this past quarter.
There are two separate facilities, or are they? They've got another couple of years to go.
Well, the Scotiabank facility is basically ending at the end of calendar 2011, and the BBVA is a 3-year loan, and we started that in May of this year, so it goes all the way to April 2013.
But we, of course, have the cash, if we wish, to pay those out early, but they would be subject to prepayment costs and stuff.
So the total of those two facilities is what, then, as of quarter end?
All right.
We had basically 10 million point one.
10 million, roughly.
And that's what, 5 million and 5, roughly.
Yeah.
On the repair of the gears, the downtime would be how extensive?
I'm sorry.
When you at some point toward the end of the year, you'll have to do some repairing to the main gear.
Right. We have to replace that gear, so that will be done by the end of the year.
The question is, how long will the plant be down?
Well, this is not such an easy question, and it doesn't translate necessarily in a reduction of production to a big degree. That also leads into questions about what our plans for the future are, and we still want to further expand. And so what we might do at the same time as we replace that gear, we may put in a larger motor, which will give us more grinding capacity in the mill, which will then give us more possibility of increasing further the throughput and production. So,
And you think you would have all this resolved by the end of the year?
Yeah. That gear replacement will be resolved.
As Klaus was saying, the issue is not so much a question of downtime, but it's a question of maintenance costs and potential additional, relatively minor, capital costs for the additional bigger motors and what have you. But I think the other thing you need to appreciate is that this is 1 mil out of 8.
Right. But if you decided to upsize, you would be making that decision by end of year, obviously.
Yeah, we will probably discuss that at the end of the year for our capital projects in 2011. And one of the possibilities which we are considering is to change probably all the motors of all the 8 mills. And that would give us basically, we are in the process of doing a study, but this could basically give us an additional mill just by increasing the
cumulative
motor
capacity of all of these mills.
Yeah.
Right. And the cost associated with this additional maintenance for the balance of the year is, I would assume, not substantial, right?
No.
Right. And then finally, the 22 megawatts of your own generating capacity, what's the total energy demand?
It's higher than that. When we are in full production and sort of with an average grinding index, we would cover about two-thirds of the power necessities by these 22 megawatts.
Okay. I think that was it, other than I assume on an ongoing basis you're working on expanding your relationship for processing even more tailings.
Right.
Any comments you'd make regarding where you are in terms of potential agreements, or?
No, I think that's that's too premature to make comments on that.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ken Hefner, private investor.
Hello. A couple of questions. Do you have any comments about Candente copper or gold? And the other one is, as far as the hedging of future production, do you foresee any of it?
Sorry, I didn't get the second question.
Hedging, Klaus, any comments about hedging any future of our production? I'll deal with that question if you want to deal with the Candente question, Klaus.
Candente copper has raised some money, as you know, and so they are heavily working on the pre-feasibility, and as published, that pre-feasibility will be finished before the end of the year, and as you have seen also in recent press releases, and we are working on improving the original conceptual study, and there are good possibilities of improving the economics of the project, and we are quite positive on seeing improvements in the pre-feasibility study already.
Okay, thank you, and there's still the hedging question.
The hedging question, as we've said in previous calls, it is not our current intention to revisit hedging. We have, we did enter into a hedging program about 18 months ago, which is now winding its way out. The last contracts were delivered in May, and the pricing will finish of those contracts will finish in September. But they were entered into on the basis that we had some obligations, both debt as well as capital, that we wanted to make sure that we met. And as we talked about earlier in the call, our debt and our liquidity position is now much stronger, and we now don't feel the same need to have that short-term hedging cover in place to meet those short-term liquidity requirements. Furthermore, we also have a manager has a view that the copper price will continue to be strong, we don't want to be caught out with a out of the money position based on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Stephen Aldridge of BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. Just one question. Others have been answered by you. But what about, you're saying that more new tailings will come from El Teniente in the second half of the year. That presumably means you will process less old tailings. Would that be correct?
No. No, it's just, we were in our budget, we had more fresh tailings coming anyway in the first quarter and in the first half, and they didn't for various reasons, but we don't have to restrict the production of copper from old tailings just because we get more fresh tailings. It will just further increase our total production.
Okay. So, but does that mean you could have put more old tailings through in the first half, but just because you were receiving less of
Yes.
But you didn't bother. You just kept going on a steady production rate.
It's not a question of we didn't bother, but we didn't get these fresh tailings.
No, I realize you didn't get fresh tailings, but you've got all the mill facilities there. Well, could you not have used more of the old tailings in their place?
No, but we were using the maximum capacity of extraction.
Ah, that's what I'm getting at. Okay.
Of extraction from the old tailings.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay. Well, it didn't come through clearly that way, so that's,
yes,
that's correct.
Yeah.
You answered
that. No. We did. We will further increase that extraction in the second half from the old tailings, and hopefully we'll also get more and better tailings from the fresh.
So what percentage of capacity then were you using in the first half of all the milling facilities, etc.? Were you sort of running 80%?
We did at various points. We did not use all our mills.
Right. Okay. No, that's fine. That answers my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Wayne Atwell of Casimir Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I joined this call a little bit late, so if this has been addressed, I apologize in advance. But can you tell us how much you have in your old tailings inventory? And if I'm not mistaken, you were trying to acquire some more tailings. Can you sort of give us an update on how long this is going to be able to supplement your shortfall, if you have such a shortfall in the new tailings?
The old tailings contain, which we have under contract, contain about 200 million tons. And we are extracting right now between 30 and 35,000 tons per day. And we are intending to go up to 40 to 45,000 tons per day. That is our maximum contractual rate at this point. So that means that we would have at least 10 years of supply from these old tailings, which we have under contract. Now, as you may also know, El Teniente has been in production for over 100 years and has produced a significant amount of tailings, and there are two other tailings ponds in the area which are not under contract with anybody and also not with us. And these tailings contain about 600 to 700 million tons. So you're basically talking in the area where we are operating, there's basically an ore body laying there, already mined and crushed and partly milled, of almost 1 billion tons, with the majority of the grade being above 0.3% copper. So, in other words, that's the kind of ore bodies many exploration companies are looking for today, and some are successful and some are not. But, that's already proven, laying there, ready to be processed. But as I said, at this point, we only have the contract for the first 200 million tons.
What's the likelihood that you'll be able to secure control of those one or several of those other ore bodies, or the other tailings ponds, and how far away from your facilities are they?
Oh, they're right next to our operations, and so there's. I mean, if you ask me, I think there's a likelihood that we will get the rights to that, but you have to ask the management of Codelco and Niente whether how they see the likelihood.
Well, it makes perfect sense that they would agree to that, but when I was down there talking to you and met with them, it seemed like they had difficulty making a decision, because if they made no decision, it wasn't wrong. And if they made a decision, it might be wrong. So they seem to be dragging their feet in terms of deciding on how to proceed with almost every issue.
Yeah. Yes, and, you know, and hopefully this will change with the new government and with the new management in place, and I've got good indications that that it will. On my last visit, I had a meeting with the new Minister of Mines, and I had a meeting with the new CEO of Codelco, and they were both very good meetings, and I think it confirmed what you were just stating, that you know, it would make perfectly sense to that they do these things with companies like us, and that they don't drag their feet. That message you know, came clearly through. And, you know, it is very important when you consider that for the first time in Codelco's history, the CEO has been chosen from private industry. I mean, that is a big change, and he is already making quite significant changes to the organization, because he realizes, and the government realizes, that the company was operated more like a civil servant-like situation rather than a proper private industry.
Good. Thank you.
Our next question is from Joe Castro of Haverstock Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, guys. It seems like part of my question was answered when someone asked about your hedging program, and it seems like you guys are happy with copper prices right now. Are you just as happy with, I guess you could say, the hedging program in your power cost? I mean, is it all reliant on the generator that you guys are coming online with, or, you know, you have some other plan to hedge your power cost?
I mean, you know, the way to hedge the power cost, I mean, how can you hedge the power cost? The only way would be to hedge crude oil.
Right.
And we have been discussing that in the past, but it's a very difficult decision, because as we were saying and as Stephen was mentioning, the power costs are not linear to the crude oil price. There's first the difference between the crude oil and the heavy oil price,
right.
and then the grid price,
right,
depends much more on the weather situation than on the oil price. I would say.
Okay.
So, you know, you may hedge something which is not perfectly alineated with what, in fact, then happens in reality.
And so, you, in essence, what you're saying, you're kind of happy with the disconnect, so to speak, correct?
Yeah.
No, we're not happy with it. We're saying that hedging may create, because of the disconnect, may create new issues, not necessarily resolve that. And I think that the other point is we have effectively made a hedge decision by installing the generators.
Okay, that's what I figured. Okay, you answered my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Art Mason, private investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Zeitler. I just a couple quick questions and comments here. I don't understand. I've got about a grade 11 education, so I don't understand a lot of accounting practices and stuff like that. But I invested in the company here back when you guys paid that last dividend. And since then, the shares have dropped considerably. What do you, like, now looking at the company, what can you say to me that would make me want to buy more shares in the company? Like, I understood Mr. Dean to say you guys maybe looking at returning that dividend or
Well, what I would say, I mean, you know, you heard what Stephen said with respect to the dividend, and I mean, you're lucky that you got the last dividend. We are unlucky that we paid it. If we would not have paid it, we would not have had to go into the market and issue shares at a very low price, which diluted the company. But what I would say is, yes, this share issue, which diluted the company to a significant effect, will be reduced, significantly reduced, or completely reduced by the fact that in future we will almost have also double the production than we had at the time when you bought the shares and when we paid that dividend. So yes, we have a dilution on the issued share side, but we will make that up again in the next years through the increase of production to the point where we will have double the production from the time you mentioned. So then that is the one factor. And the second factor, which we also discussed in this conference call, is that the power costs will come down again. Chile going through a difficult time with respect to power, and that was the reason why we built the generators, because we knew that Chile is going through that difficult time when Argentina cut off the cheap gas supply. But there will be new hydro generating plants coming on stream, and the future of the Chilean power cost will certainly be such that they are competitive again in the world. And between these two factors, I think the profitability of the company will significantly improve, assuming that the copper price will stay at levels as it is.
You fellas said a while back we're going to be purchasing back shares and canceling. That was my understanding. Is that still in the process or in the works, or is that over with now?
No, we suspended our share repurchase at the end of 2008 during the financial crisis. We, in fact, didn't suspend it; it let it expire. Didn't we?
Right.
But it's the same type of decision as the dividend. So you know, we'll revisit that by the end of the year.
Uh-huh. So what do you like? What do you see? Like, I know the price of the company, the shares are dictated by the market. But what would you say would put the shares back up? Like when I was so lucky to purchase them at $1.80, and now they're down to 70 some cents. Where? What do you foresee would push that price back up into that price range, so I could recoup my losses?
Continued good operating performance as we've along the same projection that we've established for the last three quarters.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Robert Chung of Hedgehog Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, it's David again. Just one question. In the past, you've talked about a potential review of the terms of the current royalty. It just sort of adjusts for, you know, at low prices. Is that sort of wrapped up with the negotiations with Codelco on the new or additional tailings, or is that sort of a separate issue that it's ongoing?
No. This is wrapped up.
Are you asking us whether the existing royalty arrangements under renegotiation, or are you asking is the royalty, the level of royalty on future tailings in negotiation?
Well, on the current royalties.
No,
the current royalties are negotiated and in place, and sure, you can always open contracts again, but at this point we have no reason to open that contract, and I don't think El Teniente has a reason to open the contract.
Okay. No, I just in MD&A from last year, it said that you initiated discussions with respect to a potential review of the terms of the royalties payable to El Teniente. I wasn't. That was like there was a mention of that then, so I wasn't sure if that was still.
Yeah, and at that time we did negotiate with El Teniente the royalties for the old tailings, and this is in place now.
Okay, I mean, this was from last year's MD&A.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Our next question is from Angela Waniapa of Rossport Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Daniel McConvey from Rossport Investments calling. Just on the dividend thing, just the beauty of your operation is that it is relatively low capex, and you're just cashing the stream from El Teniente, and of course you're going into the lower tailings as well. But now that we have $3 copper and have had it for a while, and I know you talk about the volatility, but if we continue to have decent copper prices, the attraction of your company is the cash flow that it can put out, and which it did put out at lower copper prices, 2, 3, and 4 years ago, or longer than that. And so as you go in the future, a couple of years, and we have steady prices, is there something that we're missing? Is there with potential new contracts with Codelco, can this result in significant material capital expenditures that be one of the reasons why you would be holding back in the dividends? Or in 2 years' time, should we, if copper prices stay above 250 or whatever, what is a good price? Should we feel comfortable that a good dividend will be reintroduced? This kind of seems overly cautious considering the nature of your operation. Thanks.
Well, I think, as I indicated before, there are two other tailings ponds in the immediate vicinity of where we are operating. So, and we have for a long time said that we are interested to also work at these tailings ponds. There is always, now in the past, as one of the callers has said, in the past, El Teniente and Codelco has been known for being overly bureaucratic and therefore relatively slow. But with the new government and the new management, I have hope that this will change. And as I said, there are indications to that. So there is the possibility, yes, absolutely, that be able to contract more tailings and therefore do need additional capital for the processing of these tailings.
And if I may add, I don't know that it's fair to say that we're being overly cautious. The company has debt of 14 or 15 million, and we have cash of 17. But whilst we're in a good position in comparison to where we were, say, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, we're not sitting on a pile of net cash, I want to remind you.
Okay, no, agreed, but you would think in a couple of years' time you would be. I guess if I...
Yeah, and our view is, in this industry, you make it first, and then you make the decision. You can't bank dollars that might be earned in 2 years' time because that's not the nature of the industry. I think you're exactly right that this company is unique to the extent that it has a business that lends itself to some predictability because of the nature of processing fresh and old tailings. Is more akin to an industrial operation than a classic mining operation. So to that extent, it does lend itself to some greater predictability for things like dividends. But the biggest two drivers are power costs, and we're still enduring high power costs, and we will continue to until 2013, as Klaus has indicated, and the copper and moly price. And as you, I think, said, copper price and moly price have had significant volatility over the last year and a half. So I don't think management's being overly cautious to make it first and then make that decision.
I'm not really talking about this year, but I'm talking about a couple of years in the future. And as you get closer to 2013, I guess, when you do have those lower prices,
yeah,
it sounds like you want to stash away, a fund for potentially getting the Codelco project, which is going to result in some CapEx. And once that's done, or if it doesn't happen, a couple years down the road, you would revisit this.
Yeah, but even that wouldn't necessarily preclude a modest dividend.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Wayne Atwell of Casimir Capital. Please go ahead.
thank you. And if you are able to secure the rights to these other tailings ponds, are you thinking about expanding capacity?
Sorry, are you thinking of?
If you secure the rights to these other tailing ponds, the old tailings, are you going to expand capacity possibly and ramp up your production?
Oh, you would have to. Yes, you would have to.
Yeah, and the question is whether we...
The other point in that is that we would then also need a facility which produces copper from oxidized material. So we would have a leaching operation and a normal flotation operation. So absolutely, you have to expand and you have to build new facilities.
Do you have sort of a back-of-the-envelope guesstimate of what the capital cost might be for that?
No. One of the problems we have is, I just want to remind everyone, we have ramped up production significantly over the last 12 months. So it's not as though we're just sitting here doing nothing right now. We have ramped up production 30-40% over the last 12 months, and we will continue to ramp it up again by another 10-20% by year-end. So we are delivering growth. I just want to remind everyone of that. Secondly, we have said several times on this call, yes, there are a number of tailings dams around the area, but it is way premature for us to comment on the likelihood of us getting them, let alone the potential capital cost of treating that material. It would require, as Klaus said, two separate circuits. You'd have to evaluate all of the permutations of how you would manage that. Do you expand the flotation circuit of our existing plant? What is the leaching plant cost, et cetera, et cetera, and let alone the metallurgical and process work that would need to be done. So I think it's we as management are terribly excited about the prospects of us contracting with Codelco Teniente for those other tailings dams, but I think it's way premature for us to comment on it at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Dean.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Klaus, do you have any other comments before we finish the call?
No.
Listen, thanks, everyone, for their interest. They were a series of great questions, and we're very happy to receive them. In fact, we had this might be one of the better calls that we've had as far as management is concerned, because we got the opportunity to deal with and talk about a whole series of questions for maybe 45 minutes or so. So thank you for your interest. We appreciate those people who are on the call who are also holders. We're excited about the next 6 months, and we hope you are too as a result of this call. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines. Thank you for your participation.